The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to We the People. All right, you can find us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We have a ton of information on there today, and so you don't want to miss that. We'll keep referencing the webpage. You're joining Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
And without one or the other of us and or our guest, we are not We the People anymore, which is what happened to us last week.
No, you'd be Me the People.
We'd just be knuckleheads.
Are you feeling better after last week?
I am. Well, Larry got stuck in airplane madness. He was supposed to be on with us, and then his flight got delayed, and he was literally flying exactly during the show, which sort of takes the fun out of it.
And that in turn caused you to get a migraine.
that in turn. Well, I had a headache anyway, and so it was kind of like, well, you know. So anyway, and then the show we told you to play actually was the one where the guest didn't call in.
It was meant to be.
It was the one where the guest didn't call in, and we had to stall for time for like 20 minutes.
That's right. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, we were
kind of serendipitous.
We were listening to that at home, going, "Oh, should probably have checked which program we put on."
Well, it was still a good program.
It was kind of funny though. So today we're going to have as much fun as we can, although it's not a particularly fun subject. But there are some fun parts, you know, I have to say. There are some fun things.
Fun's where you make it.
You have to make your own fun on this deal. So we are talking again about the Klamath Dam situation and things that are connected to that. There's a lot of stuff connected. I mean, you know, and for those people who are not into natural resource issues, you really should be. Because, man, we're talking in that particular situation about $600 million in agriculture. Not to mention all the connected, you know, ranching that goes on downstream and just.
So if you like to eat, you should probably pay attention.
Yeah, if you're pretty much into food.
Who's controlling your
natural
resources?
This is also a really big issue with power. You know, for those people who are concerned that we're not using enough green power, because I know you're out there secretly listening. You probably just don't tell your friends, but I know that you're secretly listening. And the deal is, if you're concerned about green power and you think that we should have more of it, then help us explain why you want to take out four perfectly good dams that create hydropower. And I actually have some numbers, of course. Can I find them like right exactly when I want them? No. But I will find them. There were some really good numbers that I got about how much fossil fuel it takes to run, you know, to actually produce power versus hydropower.
Versus hydropower.
Yeah, and specifically this hydropower. So anyway, I'll get that for you before we get too far into this. In the meantime, how are we doing with our guest? Do we have him sufficiently hostage? Taken
yeah,
on
he called
hold?
And I was out of the room.
Right, I know. I just wondered if you pushed the button yes. And whatever. I don't know what goes on over there. We're out of reach of the buttons for good reason. So, Mr. Kogan?
I am here. I've made it.
It's inordinately silent on your end, and so I guess it sort of tricked me.
Well, I try to be as deceptive as the government regulators are to the irrigators.
Well, the first time we talked to you was in, like, a parking lot, I think, and then, you know, we seem to always we always catch you on the go, and you know, yeah. This
well,
Klamath,
you know,
what's that?
No. Part of the delay last week was because the TSA held me up.
Oh, that's right.
Newark
I forgot
Airport.
About that part
you know, the,
too.
The hamburger flipper TSA employee
who misses 97% of all the bombs, et cetera, you know, that get on the plane.
High qualifications, you know, to be working for TSA.
That's right. I forgot about that.
So at 5 o'clock in the morning, they held probably 1,000 people. And delayed them and probably caused havoc for many of them, just like myself.
Super helpful.
We missed flights. Now you had to replace them, and it just shows you how your government is working overtime to make your life more pleasant.
To make us all safer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although I did board a plane the other day with no ID.
That's right. I forgot about that.
That's right. I had no ID. I lost my ID, and I found
it was in his coat pocket.
The coat was packed. But, yeah, I found out when I got to the check-in point that I had no ID. And they will let you board if you're willing to submit to, well, we won't go into detail, but there was.
Just suffice it to say.
Yeah, there was a procedure we had to go through to
board. Was there a little general, you know, a very gentle pat down?
He was very gentle.
No, apparently he got fresh with them.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I made it worth his while.
He could have been one of those LBGT people, right?
Yeah.
I think
Bill might have been.
What was the comment?
Hold it. Everyone was Conrad there?
he gets those dark circles around his eyes from something.
Well, actually, he was going through the thorough pat down, and as he was coming up my legs, I said, "You have a very gentle touch, sir. Are you married?" And he said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I'm divorced."
I thought, "Uh-oh." Well, listen, I think you've got a perfect analogy to what the regulators are trying to do with gentle pat down to the irrigator.
Isn't it?
There it is.
And Conrad's the ringleader.
Oh, my gosh. You know.
With Trophin.
Well, I think the thing we should probably let people in on, some of our inside joke, besides the fact that Bill can't be trusted to travel alone for a multitude of reasons. The Klamath Dam situation sort of ran out of steam at the end of last year when a piece of legislation did not make it through Congress. And it didn't make it through Congress. Some of the things that you read in the paper, you know, I've had people say, well, Congress wasn't doing its job, they let it lapse. No, Congress was doing its job and they forced it to lapse. I mean, making that thing die at the end of the year was really hard. It was not for lack of attention. But then we turn right around first part of this year, and surprise, they have a new idea. But they have a new idea with a twist. They want to take out the Klamath Dam still, but they don't want to make a deal with the irrigators, and they don't want to make their deal with the tribes, plus or minus. But they do want to hold the meetings in secret. And but according to them, it's a privileged and confidential negotiation, except it's federal and state employees and a public utility. So, yes,
I'm thinking the public should be.
Yeah.
Present.
And it's all financed by your tax dollars. So at some point, you know, we thought the taxpayers should be there. So after three secret meetings, forced them to have a public meeting last Wednesday, and rather than, let's see, what was it, 275 miles from the shadow of the closest dam, as the congressman put it. Just ridiculous. So down in Sacramento at Fort EPA, we had a little soiree. And I actually have included a nice picture of Mr. Ed Sheets that I took at that meeting. Not really his most flattering shot, but it's the only one I got with just him in it. And then if you scroll down, you'll see the effect that Larry has on people. Chuck Bonham with his mouth hanging open, and John Bezdek looks like he has some sort of an intestinal situation starting. So anyway, now.
Well, you know what it is. It's you know, they have to carry every burden of playing. Now you see it, now you don't.
All that secrecy is kind of draining. Well, you were asking them some really nice Columbo questions. Your tactic the other day was all about the. I just have one thing I'd like to know, and then they don't play poker very well. Actually, at one point, I thought the one guy was going to blow a vein. His lips were white. He had them pressed together so hard they were white.
Well, Chuck has his mouth shaped like that often, I'm sure.
It just was hilarious. Bezdek looked like he was going to pass out. It was nice.
Considering his affiliations, I'm sure he knows how to keep his mouth that shape for a long time.
We're going to play rough today, folks, by the way. I forgot to put that little disclaimer in there.
We couldn't do it at the public meeting, so we might as well play rough now.
I know, because it's just been welling up inside us.
Well, you know, with his mouth that way, he not only can blow smoke rings, he can do other things.
Exactly. And there are a lot of smoke rings. Bill. Even Bill's turning red on this one. What? Mr. TSA?
Well, Yeah, well, that was gentle.
That was different.
That was about
gentleness. That was different.
Was that discolored? I'm sorry.
Oh, that was funny. So
maybe we should start at the beginning so folks know what exactly that meeting was about.
God, can you imagine going back to the beginning?
Well,
it just
maybe
seems
not
so
always
long ago.
The beginning. Yeah.
Are we going to do a Once Upon a Time story?
Yeah, well, you know, actually, Once Upon a Time, this is also happening for folks who listen to us on a regular basis. All those programs you heard about Montana with our friend Elaine Willman on the Kerr Dam, just in case you thought that was an unrelated incident, surprise, this is really, really similar. However, this will be the largest dam removal in history. So the environmentalists who supposedly love green power but hate dams because of a lot of stupid reasons, actually, and just don't seem to be able to acknowledge the disaster that it's going to cause, they see this as the beginning to a whole bunch more dams being removed. So if you think it's not coming for you, I beg you to think again. Bob, do we have to take a quick break before we get on to the,
we probably
dare
should.
I say, the meat of the issue? Okay.
Well,
what?
No, nothing. I'm glad that we're moving off that discord subject matter.
off that ugly visual. We're going to come back. We're going to actually make this very, very coherent for you. And just in case you thought we were just, you know, making this stuff up, all the documents are posted. You can find them at wethepeopleradio.us, along with all the great information about our guest, Mr. Lawrence Cogan. Be right back. The only thing more inappropriate than us is our music. Thanks, Bob. Together, we're all very inappropriate. Ruh-roh. Did we disconnect, Larry?
He's back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Oh, okay. So one of the things I kind of neglected to mention at the beginning, you can always join us live on Sundays. We have a chat room open on Sundays from noon to 2 when the program actually airs. We also air Mondays 1 to 3 on the East Coast. The noon to 2 is Pacific time, actually. And then 1 to 3 East Coast time on the Conservative Commandos Radio Network on WNJC 1360. And if you go to our website at wethepeopleradio.us, they actually have a phone number that you can call and listen to all their programs on the phone. So if you have somebody who doesn't have enough signal on their computer to actually listen to something either recorded or live, they can just listen on the phone, especially if they have free, you know, minutes of some kind, or they don't get charged for a long distance, solve their problem. Okay, so today's program is about the Klamath Dam situation. And actually, it's a much wider thing than just that one particular issue, but it's a really good illustration of what's happening other places.
And what's to come.
And what's like coming.
They're not going to stop with that one.
No, they won't. So we also are kind of exposing Mr. Ed Sheets, who is basically a U.S. government operative and mediator. He's a facilitator, paid facilitator for the meetings in Montana and also the ones out here in California.
How exactly do you get a facilitator job?
Well, it's a no bid. So he's just it. He just gets hired.
He's a federal employee. And
No, he's not a federal employee, but he was paid by Bureau of Reclamation in Montana. And the question was asked who was paying him for the Klamath Dam situation and got the answer that it was Federal Fish and Wildlife.
So he's an ex...
But haven't been able to confirm that yet.
He's an ex-federal employee?
No.
No?
Larry?
Who's an ex-federal employee?
No. Ed Sheets. He's not a... He's well,
Ed
he's,
Sheets. Ed Sheets was a former leading advisor to former Senator Warren Magnuson back in the 70s. And okay. Warren Magnuson was the co-sponsor and co-author of major environmental legislation that has continued to nightmare industry since the 70s. And he is living largely the legacy of his former boss by portraying himself as an environmental activist as his boss was. He was also an affirmative action supporter of the Indian rights movement that was promoted at that time by the former Billy Franks, who recently passed away. Mm-hmm. And so what Magnuson was an advocate for Indian rights, water rights, at the expense of irrigators, and was also an advocate for environmentalist demands at the expense of irrigators. So those are the things that Mr. Sheets takes with him and rolls forward to the present.
Okay.
Although he's supposed to be a neutral facilitator.
Yeah, he's
although the meeting Wednesday neutral, right? Degenerated into, you know, kind of a name-calling deal, so I guess I hold the facilitator skills in question there.
Yes, Mr. Sheets is as neutral a facilitator as the Bureau of Indian Affairs is a neutral agency.
And I guess he's about as neutral as we are.
Yes, and about as neutral as we are.
Yeah, all the teams have been chosen. If you're not on the right one, be prepared to be kicked through the goalpost. Okay, so where would you like to go with this, since it's a bit of a tangled knot?
Okay, well, we have a key person who works as a consultant to the Bureau of Reclamation and has done so since 2000. The information we have thus far come up with, and we're looking to validate, is that he's earned at least $1.6 million from the Bureau of Reclamation to drive the people of the Klamath Basin crazy.
So he's like a private contractor that works for Bureau of Reclamation?
Yes, he is the indispensable, one-of-a-kind, extraordinary, neutral facilitator for the Bureau of Reclamation that is out there to try to make the medicine go down for the Klamath irrigators easily.
Right.
And that message, or the medicine, is, well, you know, you all don't matter as much anymore. We have to worry about Indians and the environment. And by the way, if you don't get your water delivery and the food isn't, you know, the food product isn't cultivated, well, you know, that's just one of those collateral damage problems that you have to face.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, what he's done is he's worked up in Montana to facilitate the entering into force of the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribe, Montana State, and U.S. Department of Interior Water Compact, which basically takes away the water rights of irrigators based on some utopian notion of in-stream water rights to Indians with time immemorial caveman-era priority dates. So there's no way you can win as an irrigator, even if you were to use the treaty date of the Hellgate Treaty of 1855 as your priority water date, in order to make a call on your water, because the tribes go back into the era of the Flintstones. And as a result, the people of the flooded Indian reservation are currently and will be denied the lower-cost energy that they have been benefiting from for the last, 80 years. And now the tribes, with total ownership and control of the dam, with the Bureau of Indian Affairs owning their irrigation project, control all access to water, physical access as well as water rights. So Mr. Sheets, you deserve kudos for destroying the irrigators' lifestyle and livelihoods, both in the Klamath and in the flathead Indian reservation.
So how do the Indians come out on top on this thing? If they lose their cheap power, are they just going to get a cash payoff?
It's the irrigators that lose their cheap power.
They lose their low-cost power, which, you know, the power rates they pay in Northern California are ridiculous. And the rates they pay in the Klamath Basin should be lower, according to the original dam agreements.
And at the risk of being like one of those TV shows that keeps having flash backwards and gets everybody confused, we should flash back and explain that after the war, Second World War, the people up in the Tule Lake and Klamath area, that land was parceled out to the soldiers. They were given like barracks that were used as, you know, internment camps for the 4 years. And they were given those and plots of land. And this whole project was set up with irrigation and all that. And it became a basin filled with like $600 million of different crops farming. So we're looking at primarily potatoes and wheat, alfalfa. You have some horseradish. And not much, if any, rice. But you have, I mean, staples. These are staple products. This isn't, you know, fancy stuff that nobody eats. I mean, this is basic stuff that everybody eats. And they've been doing that for almost 100 years there. And some people were actually farming that area prior. Uh-oh.
Well, there I mean, you have to go back in history, unfortunately, to see what the arrangements were previously that are now being changed with some legal mumbo-jumbo so that it suits the, you know, the political agenda of those in government and in the environmental community and in the pro-Indian Affairs community. You erase past history, you repair under the rubric of social justice all of the wrongs that were committed against the Indians centuries ago and that we're all still responsible for, even though we don't know anybody who committed these acts. And you, lo and behold, have the irrigators that are on the, you know, paying the bill right now. And there's no one to defend them, unfortunately, because everyone's got a conflict. All the lawyers in the basin have a conflict of interest. They either work for the tribes, they work for the state, or they work for the Pacific Corps at one point in time.
It was brought up in the last meeting that the attorney that used to represent one of the largest irrigation districts, the Klamath Irrigation District, their board of directors has flipped and they are against these agreements. Their membership is against these agreements and have elected board members to represent them that way. But when they hired you, Mr. Sheets felt the need to tell them that by hiring you, they were going to make a lot of people angry.
Well, you know, he said that the Montana tribe did not like me. You know, that really isn't a motivating force one way or the other.
That doesn't upset you, huh?
No, no. I mean,
he's got that good New York skin.
My pinky trembled a little bit, but really when you look at it, the question is not whether the tribal members don't like me, because they do. They've asked me for assistance because they've been abused, exploited, and usurped by their tribal council in Montana. These guys on the council, they're pretty large. They probably have Swiss bank accounts and chalets out in the Alps.
Yeah, there's a ton of money coming in, but the tribal members aren't seeing any of it.
Hundreds of millions of dollars, and these tribal members live in trailer camps or in squalor huts. Their kids are taken away from them because they speak out against the council. They're fired from their tribal jobs because they have the audacity to question the council, because you can't question an Indian council. Because they're a sovereign nation. You can't raise any type of opposition. Mm. This is called communalism, tribal style. It's kind of like the great, you know, what is it, the Black Bear Commune in Fort Jones. Okay, it's the same people. I mean, these guys that were sitting at that meeting this past Wednesday in the California Fish and Wildlife Office. Was it California EPA office?
Yeah, Fort EPA.
To me, they're all the same. They're all, you know, really... If you really want to go off script, I mean, these guys are commune people. They're communists, communitarians, Bolsheviks, socialists, whatever you want to call them. They all seem to define what they do and what they stand for.
Like Bernie Sanders was in there, wasn't he?
No, Bernie was there in spirit, and so was Elizabeth Warren. She was out there lighting, you know, smoke fires
in order to communicate.
She was sending signals out in the parking lot.
For 116 Cherokee.
She's part some. She's some Indian portion. Maybe it's, you know, even less than the 1/8 blood quantum that they now need in order to get more money, to get more heads and bodies into the tribe.
Hmm.
But that's how they make their money. They keep on watering down the blood quantum requirement to be a tribal member, and then they can get more people into the tent, or teepee in this case.
Well, it's interesting, though, because only some tribes are special. Only some are special, because you have a very large tribe, actually, who's not federally recognized up here in Northern California, and the Shasta tribe, their burial grounds are covered over by the reservoirs that are behind the dams. So, literally, if they let these dams go, they're going to take their ancestors and wash them down the river. But that seems
literally and figuratively.
Yeah, I mean, but that seems to be okay.
The Shasta have been shafted.
Exactly. They're not special enough. So before somebody, you know, I don't know, I'm always in the back of my head hearing the, the skeptics out there. Well, explain that. You know, if you think the Indians are getting a bad deal. Those guys are getting a really bad deal.
I met Mr. Gentry at my meeting. He was, you know, very dignified and, you know, was very welcoming of my attendance in the meeting until he started to hear my questions. And then there were the other tribal members from the Yurok and what was the other tribe?
The Karuks.
The Karuk tribe. And then there was a Hoopa tribe representative there as well. But nobody talks about the Indian water rights because they should be tied to reservations. But the Klamath tribe has a specifically interesting deal that grants them 100,000 acres or so. That's part of the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement that expired. But somehow that 100,000-acre transfer is going to be pulled back into the KHSA, the Klamath Hydroelectric Settlement Agreement, in order to activate their reserve off-reservation water right with the caveman time immemorial priority date.
Mm-hmm.
So, these agreements are treated by the regulators as standing on their own 2 feet and that they're siloed, in effect. But they really have interactivity between each other, and that's one thing the regulators did not like attention being drawn to. It's kind of like little stepping stones across the pond, and they're all, you know, necessary and interrelated.
Right. Well, and
that way they keep people guessing. People are focused on the magnificence of the blade of grass, and they don't realize the swamp that's growing around them.
True. And this whole thing was designed to be really, really fast-tracked. I think it was it February they came out with the agreement in principle?
The one that was somehow publicly divulged. And
The agreement in principle was public, and that was first part of the year, and it basically said representative from the California governor's office, the Oregon governor's office, the Department of the Interior, and the Pacific Corp, their corporation, they had all agreed in principle to take out the Klamath dams. And it was just a little page and a half deal with no specifics, and it was kind of like, oh, great, here we go again. And then got kind of quiet for a few weeks until we found out that they were going to be holding these. Let's see, they had a meeting in Medford, missed that one, didn't find out about that in time, did show up for the one in Sacramento, and they were not happy.
Let's talk about what their plan was as far as the Shell Corporation. I think we have to take a break real quick.
We do, but we don't have the music up yet, so we're getting there. Oh, we do?
Yeah, we're ready.
Oh, Bob's way faster.
When we come back, let's get into what their little scheme was before it was really made public.
I wish we could put a voting thing on the website so we could get people to vote. Like, do you think this is a private property rights issue, or do you think it's something that involves the taxpayers? So that'll be the question to you when we come back. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Shell Corporation. I think we have to take a break real quick.
We do, but we don't have the music up yet, so we're getting there. Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Bob's way faster. We come back.
Okay, I thought it's a long story.
It sounds like an engineering snafu here, but that's okay. We all have those moments.
I just want you to know we're far away from the buttons.
I'm going to go jump off the roof.
Don't do it, Bob.
Callers are driving me insane.
Time is really wasted. Can't come back till the water goes down 5 feet high and rising. Well, it's 5 feet high and rising.
Actually, it's a lot higher than that here. Our lake's almost full. It's kind of great. They said we'd never have enough water again.
Take 5 years to fill that lake.
My God, the politics of scarcity were in high gear. Yeah,
hey, that's Bureau of Reclamation, too, isn't
hey,
it?
Hey, it is.
They were so busy worrying about the little dam that the big dam almost overflowed.
And
oops. Release the hounds!
Oh, my gosh. So you're joining We the People. Online, you will find a ton of information at wethepeopleradio.us. And just in case you need a break, you know, you want to listen to something fun and you'd like to know some of the characters behind the madness, I will link it. I haven't done it yet, but go back in our archives and look up the show on the Black Bear Commune. Seriously, it's a gut buster. There's a nice little video there called Commune, which is enough to make your hair curl. And this is where a lot of these folks came from, the local ones up there in Northern California. We're online here with Lawrence Kogan. He has 25 years of international business and law experience, working with public and private clients on this is always a tongue twister, cross-border transactional planning and policy matters. Does a lot of regulatory stuff. A lot of things that people think might be boring, but I'll tell you what: when the wheels are coming off the wagon, you gotta pray there's some guy named Lawrence Kogan in your back pocket
that knows all about it.
Yeah, and the people who do bad things from the different governmental agencies, they love him.
They do. They love seeing him coming.
They totally love him.
Well, I appreciate that support. After looking at all the socialist governments around the world that I've had to address regulations from my clients, I've now come back home and seen the same socialist regulatory mechanisms at play. It's unfortunate, but
familiarity with foreign socialism
is
informing my knowledge here.
Yeah, and it's popping up everywhere, and people just don't realize how bad this is getting.
Well, I think they do, but it's kind of ethereal. I don't think people necessarily are looking at the practical aspects, because this is really practical, the dams and agricultural and agriculture and everything. It's very, very practical. So what were we going to do when we came back from our break?
We're going to.
What was the thing, Larry? Do you remember?
Oh well, we were looking at
goofed off, and
as I recall, some of these impacts on people and why it's important for people to become engaged in this public process. Okay, because we have a quote unquote neutral facilitator who's decidedly one sided. We have regulators that are basically playing shell game with information. We have some irrigators who have been bought off and are drinking, Ed Sheets Kool-Aid, and wanting to give up their water rights and their ability to farm and ranch according to their terms. And then you have, Pacific Corps, who is basically incorporating their cost-benefit analysis in favor of dam removal instead of license renewal.
Well, that's what, in
this KHSA agreement, but they don't want to disclose the agreement, this cost-benefit analysis to the public, which I found astounding.
Right, and I think that's what we were going to talk about, was their scheme to take all this out of the public realm and make it all private so they could kind of bypass the whole system and get what they want.
Yeah, because the one secret meeting down in Sacramento, it was on a very short timeline, like a month, two months.
The public meeting that the public didn't know about and wasn't welcome to attend.
And they were going to create a 501c3 nonprofit, transfer the dams from Pacific Corp to the 501c3 nonprofit that was staffed by but didn't have to be former government employees. That was their words, not mine. And
well, isn't it true, Aaron, that they were planning doing the next meeting either in Santa Monica or Tijuana so that the stakeholders couldn't get there?
Well, pretty close, because the meeting after that one where they were their slides didn't work. The one slide came up that said that they were creating the nonprofit to circumvent Freedom of Information Act requests and to go around Congress or something to that effect. I didn't get a picture of it, but I should have.
Federal Advisory Committee Act also, so they don't have to report the meetings.
Exactly, that too. And by the way, the next meeting was in Portland, real convenient. So that's 11 hours from here.
Yeah, and these are issues that are affecting Siskiyou County, and they're trying to put these meetings as far away from Siskiyou County.
Yeah, but it got better, because in Portland, after there was a lot of pressure put on them by Congressman LaMalfa, a lot of pressure to make these meetings public, and they said, well, we could have it in Portland again, or San Francisco was one of the options from one of the stakeholders sitting around the table, said, well, how about San Francisco? It'd be easier to fly in there. And I thought, you're killing me. But that's what I always think when they start talking. So,
well, maybe Pacific Corp is going to offer their office in Tijuana as a location for a vacation.
Well, it always becomes, you know, people always say, well, it's a private property rights issue. The company that owns the dams, if they want to take them out, they can, because it's all private property rights. However, all of this is being orchestrated with state employees, federal employees from different agencies, paid for by the California Water Bond, if their plans go as they...
And it's a public utility.
And it's a public utility. They want to use California Water Bond money and the ratepayer surcharge that they've been charging the Pacific Corp customers. So all of it is taxpayer money. So, anyway, the pressure is to start this over again and make it an open public process, but we don't have an answer on that just yet. What's your guess, Larry? You think they'll do it?
They'll make it public? Well, listen, you know, they can't give you everything, so maybe they make it public and they make you travel for a day. Just so that you have a full appreciation for what they're doing.
There you go.
But really, you know, what's going on here is criminal in effect, because not only are they deceiving the stakeholders regarding their true intent and motivations, they're also, you know, you have a private company that's denying the residents of the basin more affordable electric rates in order to make more profit. Then they don't want to divulge in a public document that they're a signatory to, their cost-benefit analysis that is the basis for the decision, their decision, to remove the dams rather than relicense them. And then you have the government that says that they're not making any determination itself, at least the Department of Interior is now saying it's not making a determination concerning the need to remove the dams based on any type of science. And they're placing this now within the jurisdiction of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which is a division of the Department of Energy, all in an attempt to circumvent the will of Congress concerning this interstate compact, which they say doesn't exist. So, you know, you feel like you're in Alice in Wonderland, because the world's turned upside down and what you think exists doesn't exist. And if you believe it does, then you're seeing things, including black helicopters.
And it turns out all that is true, which is kind of
trying to make people think they're crazy and that they're the only ones that are sane.
One of the big things that keeps happening with this is that they basically have picked on a group of people that they think doesn't have the ability to defend themselves in a county that's small, that doesn't have a lot of money. It's already been decimated by the spotted owl and all sorts of other things. And I think they're always surprised how much these guys fight back.
Well, listen, when your back's against the wall and your family livelihood is at stake, that can roll over. And unfortunately, these people in government who have only stripes to put on their shoulders by taking the irrigators out of commission have nothing to defend other than their ideology. Ideology, at the end of the day, ideology will be vanquished by livelihoods and basic need to exist. And they have to realize that. The law may be what it is, but people power is greater.
Yeah, we keep hoping. You know, we always, we dodge one bullet and then, surprise, it's back again.
Well, you can understand why Donald Trump has gotten so much support, because there's nobody else out there, aside from Ted Cruz, who doesn't agree with the way the government is currently being operated. And these people want to do something about it, and it may take breaking the china in the china shop in order to get the shop to operate well again.
Yeah, I think these guys see that coming, that potential change coming, and I think that's why the inordinate rush, the onset of you showing up has turned out to be incredibly inconvenient for them.
Well, you know, I have that habit of being inconveniently available.
So what is their...
we need to listen to a little song and some commercials.
Okay. Well, let's get back to how they set all this up.
Okay, you got to remember it, because it takes me 5 minutes to remember.
All right, I'll remember.
Sorry, everybody. Right. We got 3 hours of sleep last night. Okay, so you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back. Give a Damn song. There's that other Give a Damn song, no? It's when our Give a Damn's busted, though, huh?
Yeah, the one we play every week.
Okay, the one I know better than that one. Oh, my gosh. You're joining me, the people. We're wrapping up our first hour here with our friendly attorney from New York, the land of New York, or the People's Republic of New York. Isn't that what you always call it?
Well, as you remember during the hearing, public meeting, I introduced myself as being from the People's Republic of New York, but stating that I wasn't a communist.
That's right. And then, of course, they had to attack you for coming from New York. It was like, okay, that's random.
Right. Remember, what was your name? Becky?
Becky Hyde. Becky. Was very pushed that you took the place of the other attorney who used to go along with all their stuff. How dare you come and rock the boat?
Well, you know what it was? I wasn't part of the Black Bear Commune. That was why. I want to alert you all to a new theme I think we should now bring forward in this discussion.
Oh.
Because these regulators have their own agendas, but they are following the lead instruction from their POTUS.
Okay? True.
Now, if you look at Reuters, March 20th, 2016 article, entitled Brazil's Rousseff Lacks Senate Votes to Defeat Impeachment. Now, why don't we have one of those activities for President Obama? Let's try to impeach him. Let's see what our rhino Republican representatives in Congress will do to stand up for the people who have been beaten through regulation and property rights diminishment by this President of the United States. Why don't we impeach him, and let's see if we can make him seek votes that he may lack in the U.S. Senate. Why does this have to happen in Brazil and not here?
Well, we will explore that when we come back. Mr. Kogan, hang with us. You got a few minutes to take a breath and gather your thoughts. Folks, I hope you go to the website. It is wethepeopleradio.us. There's a ton of information there. And we'll have the archive posted for you this afternoon. So if you want to send this to a friend, lots of different links to other shows we've done on the topic, if you're feeling like you came in partway through the movie. Thanks a lot. Be right back.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to We the People Radio. We would love if you would join us. WeThePeopleRadio.us. We've got all sorts of stuff on there. We've got years of archives, lots of fun shows. And if you want to see some of the early environmentalists up there in Siskiyou County, we've got a great link on there for the Black Bear Commune program. And I guarantee you, if you need a good laugh, that's the one. It also has the video commune on there that I think would be very educational for everyone. But we're chatting about the Klamath Dams and the potential removal of the Klamath Dams. And we haven't even gotten into the mess that it'll create. But we have Larry Kogan with us on the phone, who is an attorney representing some of the irrigators up there before they just get railroaded in the current Klamath Hydro Settlement Agreement that is being kind of brought public, but was intended to be done behind closed doors. So, Mr. Kogan, what do you want to talk about the private, you know, the way they wanted to keep it private and create the 501c3 nonprofit and all that, and why that's inappropriate?
Well, one of the things was that Pacific Corp was trying to find a way to get out from under because of the potentially significant environmental liability that they would be responsible for assuming once the dams were being removed because of all the toxic sludge that's accumulating below in the bottomlands below the dams. And they wanted some type of assurance from the federal government or from the state governments that they wouldn't be held financially responsible for all the damage it would cause. And
why are they concerned about that if it's not going to be a problem?
Well, the funny thing is, I mean, if dam removal is so much better than dam renewal, then why are they concerned about the liability?
Exactly.
They did this economic cost-benefit analysis, which they don't want to disclose to the public. They want to cover things up just like the government does. But yet they're afraid of being sued by everybody for causing all types of damage to the environment and to wildlife. So the states, with the federal government in the room, you know, came up with this cute little plan to form a private nonprofit corporation to be this dam removal entity. And that private nonprofit would be staffed with all these experts they'd come up with from somewhere. And then be given access to hundreds of millions of dollars worth of state funds from California and Oregon. Obviously, maybe half of that was ratepayer funds, your funds.
And that's where it goes sideways.
It goes upside down. We're in Alice in Wonderland, remember?
Yep.
So the ratepayer increases that were being collected by PacifiCorp, kind of like the sheriff of Nottingham, who was granted the right to collect all these monies from the adoring taxpayers of Klamath Basin, north and south, to pay for the removal of the dams in part, because at the very least it's going to cost $450 million to take these dams down and then have to repair the ecosystem. But, so $200 million came from mostly Oregon, $184 million came from Oregon ratepayer increases, and $16 million came from California. And in exchange for Oregon assuming the greater ratepayer increase portion, California, on the other hand, had a 2014 bond issuance per vote of taxpayers, a portion of which, $2.5 billion of which, would be allocated in part to raising money to take down the dams. Now, there's, I think, a $2.5 billion portion, of which $200 million has been supposedly allocated for dam removal. And this is in the section of the bond issuance entitled water storage. So those clever regulators can always say, we never talked about water storage in the negative or the positive. I mean, we didn't say whether the money would be used to build more water storage or whether the money would be used to remove water storage. So they get to go flip-flop either way, as good politicians typically are able to do. But the problem is that normal ratepayer increases for electric rates are always tied to significant capital investment by the utility licensee on behalf of the public interest. So where is the benefit that Pacific Corps states it's bringing to the people of the Klamath Basin by removing the dams? They haven't stated what that public benefit is, but nevertheless, the Public Service Commissions of California and Oregon thought it was a neat idea and went and approved it. In a way in which I would argue could be judicially challenged at the present time, because they don't have any basis for declaring and determining that all of this ratepayer increase to take dams down rather than to install new capital equipment to operate the dams more efficiently is in the public interest. Removing the dams is not in the public interest. The science that the Secretary of Interior has used in its overview report from 2012, which they claim is peer-reviewed properly, which I seriously doubt based on a quick review of the overview report, they don't show that dam removal is better than dam relicensing. All they try to do is back into a political decision that the governors and the federal government have made several years ago with the help of environmentalists and Indian tribes that dam removal is in the best interest for them, not for the public. And that's a really big problem. And there's lots of ways in which to look at the schedule of things that the government says will happen and go item by item to see where they are without evidence to support what they want to do. It's a real problem, okay? The government has an agenda. The environmentalists have an agenda. The Indians have an agenda. And they don't want to be called on that. They don't want to be asked questions. They don't want to provide information that's truthful. And they look at people as though, how dare you ask questions of us? We are the government. We make the determination. Somehow, they forgot what this country was all about. Somehow, they forgot that the government works for the people. It's not the other way around. And it's time for the people to rise up and go to the faces of these regulators and say, you work for us, and we want to cut your salary. We want to fire you all.
Well, it's interesting to me that Paul Hauser, Dr. Paul Hauser, was brought on, and I'm not sure of the year. It's been a couple of, I'm going to say maybe 3 years ago now. He was brought on as the scientific integrity officer. So he was the scientist's scientist on that project. And he basically said, in a list of 10 alternatives to improve the fishery and all the things that they supposedly want to do, taking out the dams is the worst alternative. That would be the least beneficial. And he went to his boss at the Department of the Interior and said, why are we doing this first if this is the worst option? That this is not where the science is pointing. And they said, well, that's real nice, but we don't put those findings in writing. And he said, well, it's too bad because I just did. And they said, oh, okay, you're fired. So this is a lot. This just totally reminds me of the global warming debate. You know, the science is settled, and if you disagree, well, you're a knuckle-dragger. But there's plenty of science on the other side.
Well, listen, you go back to the Black Bear Commune again. It's a great analogy. You know, the members of the Black Bear Commune had to go along with what was required. They couldn't deviate. And then there was another group that brought in the families, correct? The Shiva something? They brought in the families, and then you couldn't dictate from their dictates. So no matter how the communists say that you have freedom, you don't. It's just, they have to defeat the scope of freedom that they define. And in this case, the regulator, the socialist regulators that are now operating within the U.S. federal government are dictating the terms of our existence. And it's high time that the people now rise up against these regulators and the man in the White House who gives them marching instructions. Okay, he should be impeached just like Brazil's Rousseff is currently at risk of being impeached. And nobody in the Republican Party is doing anything because they're afraid of the racial card being flipped out at them.
Well, at the end of the day, if you can't convict them in the Senate, you know, you just ran
it. They went after Bill Clinton for nothing, and this guy is destroying the country, and they let him be.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you can't get the job done, people are really paying a lot more attention. If you actually said you were going to impeach the president, they would expect you to do it because most people don't understand that you need the House and the Senate, and they don't understand the threshold that has to be met. They think because Republicans have a majority in the Senate, they can do it, but they don't realize 54 votes is pretty far from 67.
Yeah, but they can find all the violations of the Constitution perpetrated by this president and his executive branch.
Sure.
Yeah, this executive branch doesn't implement the laws that Congress faithfully... They don't faithfully implement the laws that Congress enacts. They write their own laws.
Yeah, there's a lot of not...
Body.
Yeah, there's a lot of not faithfully going on. True story.
There's no separation of powers anymore, and these regulators walk into those meetings with their noses up in the air, as you had indicated to me from the prior meeting.
Yeah. Well, how dare anybody jam up their... how dare you jam up their program? It's like, oh, wow, interesting. And then when you mentioned that, you know, the public should be a party to it, it was kind of alarming to me that actually had to be explained why that was.
Well, especially when you have government officials at the meeting, but the public can't go.
Well, you know what it is. I think what they expect of us is they expect of us all to take a great big inhale of the air around Shasta Mountain. Bring with us a few little crystals, and we will transcend into a higher level of self-consciousness and being, and therefore we'll be able to see their reality.
Yeah, probably not.
As they did in Black Bear Commune.
Probably not happening, huh?
Well, I don't think so, but that's what they want. They want you to see their world, and it's impossible for anybody with any common sense to see that world.
What do you see... Because, you know, there are irrigators up in that basin who think that this is going to benefit them. The taking out the dams actually, well, okay, forget the benefit. There are a lot of them who think it doesn't matter, that it's not going to affect them. Well, the dams are below us, so it's got nothing to do with us. I got a lot of commentary on that, but what would you tell them?
Well, I would tell them basically they're dividing and conquering one irrigator against another. They're trying to cut deals where some irrigators are covered and others are not. They don't tell them about the reserve off-reservation Indian water rights that will basically, you know, overtake any water right claim that they can muster in the future. They don't tell them that the agreements, although they're separate, the one agreement doesn't say how they're going to exercise their water right. The other one provides them with the land that will allow them to do it. They buy them off one at a time, and then they pit one neighbor against the other, just like they've done in Montana with the Flathead Joint Board of Control and their irrigator districts. Okay, they basically say that if you disagree and you don't go along, well, you're a bad neighbor. That's a bunch of bunk. The people who are farmers and ranchers want to do their farming and ranching. They don't want to deal with all this garbage. And they don't have the threshold of pain that's necessary in order to fight back and realize that they're being divided and conquered by the government. This woman, Becky, is smoking something. Maybe she's been up to Shasta Mountain. I'm sure she has. But the fact is, you know, for her to say that you're wrong if you don't go along with it, I mean, she must be on a hallucinogenic or some other kind of inner sense stimulant.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, if you don't agree, then I guess it's not really all that unbelievable. It's like everything else that's happening. If you don't agree, you're a bigot, you're a hater, you're a racist, you're a whatever. And
as long as you have somebody that can write a paper and counteract what you're saying, and you have more money to put that out on the news, then you're right.
Then you must be right.
You must be right.
And you know, the whole idea that all the dam removals out there have been just such huge successes, that's... not necessarily something that everyone would agree with either. We need to take a really quick break. We will be back with Larry Kogan in just a couple of minutes. You can find, I'm adding documents kind of as we speak. I'm adding the KHSA, the Klamath Hydro Settlement Agreement document on there and all those things so you can do your own research. Don't believe us. Go look it up for yourself. WeThePeopleRadio.us. Well, you filled up my head with so
give a damn's busted.
We were just talking about all the water they're letting out of the dam. It based on some, I don't know, 1980 chart or some fool thing. Anyway, welcome back. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Got a bunch of extra documents for you on there, including the letter that the congressman submitted to the meeting last Wednesday. And the entire document, just in case you'd like to read it with all the little red line edits. It's good nighttime reading if you're having trouble falling asleep. Yikes.
Actually, it'll cause nightmares.
Well, there's that, too. I didn't want to be responsible for it, but yeah, I guess put the disclaimer and then I'm not responsible. And we have Dave on the line who has a question or a comment. I'm not sure which.
Go ahead, Dave.
Fire away, Dave.
Yeah, greetings from San Francisco. We're getting a little rain down here, so I hope something's coming up your way. Hey, you know, a couple of different things that are tied to this. I was listening to a talking book about the Johnstown flood of, that's over 100 years ago, if I remember right, and the idea that a dam left unattended, you know, budget cuts going into a dam and then it's upstream of a growing city, and the idea that the liability issues are totally ignored. The people of Johnstown got wiped out and actually got zero from the biggest of the richest people in America were the ones that owned that dam and paid out zero to those people. So get a chance to see that that book or listen to that talking tape, fairly recent book about the Johnstown flood. The other thing about the TVA, and I'm wondering, actually, does the electricity for this dam go over toward Hanford? Because if you look at the TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority, they built a whole mess of dams down there. They basically kicked all of these people off of their farms, and they created so much electricity that they sent it over to the emerging atomic development in Oak Ridge. And it's said that they used up so much electricity to purify the nuclear rods and whatnot that we've never actually equaled the amount of electricity for all of the nuclear power plants to this day. They have not produced the equal amount of electricity that got sucked up by the TVA to purify those rods. And so I'm wondering, with the Hanford project just upstream, is much of the dam electricity going toward Hanford? And by dismantling the dam, it would then stimulate the economy back to providing water to where it used to go.
No, the water doesn't. Oh, sorry. The water for this from this system. Look up the Klamath River. You know, like when you go on there, it starts up in Oregon and then cuts out towards the ocean, pops out in Humboldt County. Some of it goes through the Trinity system and down through the Central Valley. But the bulk of what we're talking about would happen way up above that.
I mean, Hanford is really covered by the Columbia River Basin transmission scheme. That Bonneville Power is primary. It's a different part of the grid.
This Pacific
and Montana contributes into actually around Hanford, because Montana is the headwater state, so they've got two big dams along the Flathead River.
You get electricity, but do you actually do a lot of irrigation up there with the water, or is it
yes.
Is it
That's
mostly
primary use
electrical?
No, $600 million in agriculture.
Sure, yeah.
In that basin.
Yeah, I used to manage an orchard out in Colorado, in western Colorado, and we had to have irrigation. And so dams and, you know, locks and, not locks, but irrigation ditches were primary necessity for the Grand Junction is where I used to live. So I'm real familiar with the idea of irrigation with that and the amount of money that you can make with a well-set-up system. But it just crossed my mind that the electrical grid, whether or not, If you go into Tennessee and Kentucky, where they were drawing this electricity from, they ruined so many different hollows and valleys and whatnot with a multitude of dams. They decimated so many areas. In fact, at the foot of Mount Whitney, the old movie Chinatown is about water theft in California. And that they sucked all of the water out of the foothills of Mount Whitney, sent it down to L.A., and all of the agricultural area up there just got starved because of the sales of the water.
Sir, you make a very good point, actually, regarding sale of water. They want to move the Klamath water into California because California's got a very great thirst for water.
Sure, yeah.
So they use any excuse they can in order to do away with the dam so the water flows more freely so California can exploit that water use.
Well, the overwhelming purpose, supposedly, if you want to get down to it, is to improve the fishery. The trick with this particular river that's different than the others, most are, snow-fed, glacier-fed. The water starts out cold and winds up warmer as it goes into the ocean. This particular river starts out at about 80 to 85 degrees up in the Klamath Lake because it comes out of the lava beds. So it starts out really hot. That's why there's a ton of algae up there. That algae basically creates a bunch of phosphorus in the water that is used as a fertilizer. So as they irrigate, it pulls the phosphorus out of the water, creates more oxygen for the fish, actually, as the water goes back in without the phosphorus. They get a natural form of fertilizer. And the water's cleaner as it comes from Oregon. It gets cleaner down through California. And because it's held behind these rather small dams and small reservoirs, the water is cooled. So the coho salmon live in cold water. They spawn typically 25 miles from the coast. This is, 275 miles from the coast? So you're literally trying to get a cold water fish way the heck up there. And without the dams, the water's just going to flat be too hot.
Were those salmon there before the dams went in?
It's super debatable. The other thing, too, is that river historically went dry in the summer. It doesn't run all year long. It doesn't have that kind of source. So without the dams, you don't have a consistent flow of water. And I'm not sure how exactly fish operate without water, but my guess is it's not well. So there are all sorts of problems with this particular system that don't lend themselves well to comparison with others. But like I said, Dave, we got a ton of information on there if you want to study it. It's actually pretty interesting.
What was the website again?
WeThePeopleRadio.us.
All right. I'll take a look for it.
We've done quite a few.
With it.
Thanks. And we've done quite a few shows with people who live up there. Just look up, Klamath Dams, Klamath River. We've done a bunch of different stuff because if you don't understand the issue, a lot of what's going on doesn't make any sense. And it is eventually going to affect everybody. So it's worth learning about.
All right, will do. Thanks.
Thanks a million.
Thanks for calling, Dave.
Look at that. Nothing bad happened? Flipped all those buttons and still got Larry?
I'm still here.
Oh, my gosh. We're like professionals. Okay, I'm just kidding. just kidding. That would be bad. All right, so what else do you think we need to talk to people about?
Well, essentially, the fact is that the power rates have gone astronomically higher once the Pacific Corps took over the dams in 06. They didn't renew the low-cost block of power that were being provided at vulnerable preferential rates almost. And now, people's power bills are going to the ceiling.
And they're actually charging the people a dam removal fee on every bill every month. And same, too, with the folks in Utah. This is Idaho, Utah, as well.
Yeah, and the problem is it's not transparent, okay? The Public Service Commission in either state, these guys are asleep. These women and men are asleep, and or they're getting a payoff somewhere for approving something that really is not in the public interest. And they now really define public as including environmentalists and Indians.
Right, and I did have someone on the chat room say, that the congressman opposing this isn't representing his district well, but Siskiyou County, the county that's the most affected in the first congressional district by this particular idea, those guys put an advisory measure on the ballot a few years ago. 79% of the people voted to keep the dams in. wasn't legally binding. It was an advisory measure. But when 79% of the people vote on anything, that I think that's considered a pretty good majority.
It's been overwhelming. It's an overwhelming public repudiation of what the government wants to do.
Yeah, and now, these are the people that are actually being affected by this. I mean, this isn't like a statewide survey. These are the folks that understand what the dams were built for, understand the benefits of them, and understand what's going to happen if they take them out. So it says a lot.
It does. And I do want to clarify for the listening audience, any reference that I have made to Indians really is to the tribal council governments, which are usually found to be corrupt and exploitative of their tribal members. I feel sorry for the tribal members who really can't say very much in the shadow of their tribal council governments. So, you know, both in Montana and down here in the Klamath, the tribal members are being exploited by the tribal governments, and the tribal governments are only out to make money. So who knows? Maybe they're out there to sell water rights.
Well, and in this particular arrangement, the only one really making out in it is Pacific Corp. They offload the dams to an entity that has little or no responsibility, no responsibility to the public.
Well, how do you take taxpayer funds and hand them over to a private entity?
Yeah, I don't understand how that could possibly be okay.
We looked on the websites of the Secretary of State, and we did business searches both in Oregon and California. We couldn't find the name of the company that they were using. I think it's the Klamath Basin Restoration Corporation was the name that they used in the newest draft of the agreement. And we found the Klamath Basin Restoration Association, which was the Karuk tribe in Happy Camp. But that company went defunct because they weren't paying their annual fees.
And the other one isn't filed with the Secretary of State in California?
No. We looked. We couldn't find anything. So perhaps it's a federally chartered corporation. Maybe it's chartered under the Indian Reorganization Act, for all we know. They're giving it to the tribal governments.
It's sounding more secret.
Jesus.
This will be the gift that keeps on giving, and we by no means have seen... We're like at the tip of the iceberg with this whole deal. We need to take another really quick break. Sorry, Larry. It seems like this is like break central. we just got started again. What? It's time already? And it's almost 2 o'clock. I can't believe it.
Are we there yet?
Gee, I guess we are almost, Dad. Hang in. We'll be right back. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. The 501c3, it's supposed to be called the Klamath River Renewal Corporation. So not restoration, it's renewal. Klamath River Renewal Corporation. So anyway, just a little FYI
well,
there.
Well, that's good because if people were to go look on the business search for the Secretary of State of California, they would find that they couldn't find this entity.
Yeah, magical, huh? We have Commissioner Tom Malams on the horn from Klamath County. Hey, Tom.
Hello there. How are you today?
Oh, you know, we're just talking about, you know, the dams again.
Never-ending topic.
It just doesn't ever end. So what would you like to pipe in with?
Well, I was just reminiscing and actually having some withdrawal syndrome going on here and thinking about all the years that I participated in those closed-door meetings before I was a commissioner. And they were definitely closed-door meetings where you had to sign the protocols and confidentiality agreements and very, very onerous to say the least, but that's the way they like to operate us behind the scenes, behind those closed doors. And actually, it wasn't uncommon to have closed door meetings behind the closed door meetings, where even those that were participating behind the closed door meetings were excluded from some of those meetings.
Actually, we saw that in Portland because somebody asked one of the players, actually, who I thought would be in on the nonprofit, asked how they were going to fund it until they could get the ratepayer money and the water bond money. And the four principal people, Chuck Bonham from California Governor's Office, actually he's from Fish and Game, but and then Richard Whitman from your Oregon Governor's Office, the attorney from Pacific Corp, and John Bezdek from Interior, they all looked around real like they'd been caught with their hand in the cookie jar. It was really weird. And ultimately, Richard Whitman said, we'd rather not talk about that, and we're not prepared to divulge that source, but suffice it to say, it's private money.
Oh, sure. So, sure it is. And, you know,
that's terrific.
I asked Richard Whitman a couple of times now, here just recently, you know, Klamath County has not participated in those meetings for, you know, since 2013. February 2013, we thought we had officially pulled out, and they say we can't pull out the way we did. But I wanted to know if they have closed-door meetings, if one of the county commissioners attends, will they be required to sign a confidentiality agreement? And I still haven't got an answer from him.
Well, I don't know. I know the big push is to make it all public. Because, see, the last round, it was all secret, and with the confidentiality agreements, as you have said, and yet the lore out in the public is, no, that's not true. That never happened. And here we go again. It's all starting over again. And it starts out with, again, secret meetings, all crafted to be done. Would have probably been done. I think it was, I forget, I don't have the timeline in front of me, but this thing was going to this corporation by April. It was a quick turnaround.
And no, and Richard Whitman in our meeting we had with him here about a week or so ago said we're going to go on a very slow, deliberate timeline, and I see this as about as accelerated as it could possibly be.
Yeah, slow and deliberate. I don't think you could actually make that case. Well, did you ever get notification of any of these meetings if you were still considered a signatory?
Yes, we did through our county council. But we had taken a position to basically said thanks, but no thanks. We consider ourselves not parties to these agreements because we, by an order, voted on order after a public hearing that we voted to, unanimously as a board of commissioners to drop out of these agreements, and we should not be a party to them any longer because we don't agree with it, and neither do the people in Klamath County.
Yeah. Well, did they agree? They didn't agree to it last time, but they were represented by people who did. So they got rid of those folks and elected you and a couple other. No, there are only three of you, so you and someone else, right?
Yes, there was all three of us that were in there starting in 2010. One was replaced, 2012, two replaced, and there's a third one in there, another one now that is in there that has publicly said that she doesn't agree with this, but I'm not quite so sure of that.
All right. So what are you guys going to do going forward? If these are public meetings, are you going to attend and weigh in for the folks in Klamath County?
I think there's a very likelihood of yes. We have to discuss that as a board. As one commissioner, I could still go no matter what the board says. I think there's value to being there to be a part of the discussion and find that I can stay abreast of what in the world they're doing there.
All right. Well, good. Anything else for us?
Well, just a side note, I guess, you know, when you're talking about these Pacific Cord charging the customers a surcharge for dam removal, that was instituted back in the Oregon legislature in Senate Bill 76, which had a very, very interesting vote when that first came about. Our own Oregon's Republican Senator Jason Atkinson, that was coming on the House floor, and they were voting for it. I think he was going to be the deciding vote. I'm not positive of that, but just before he voted, he said, you know, at this point, I do have to divulge a conflict of interest. And he said, I work for Pacific Corp as a consultant and have for quite some time. And then he immediately turned around and voted for Senate Bill 76, which was the gave the Oregon PUC the ability to charge the ratepayers of Pacific Corp to pay them. They had to pay on every monthly power bill for dam removal. And it's very interesting that he did divulge his conflict of interest, but then he went ahead and voted for his employer's betterment. And then he never sought re-election after that. I think he got a tremendous amount of blowback on that, but I think he'd made his money, and he was okay with that, I guess.
Well, the vote should be challenged as is invalid for that reason.
Well, the legalities under state Oregon state ethics rules and everything, as long as you divulge it, you can still vote on it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. And for us as a county commissioner, you can divulge it, but if you're smart, if you do not vote on something that you have any kind of a conflict. But at the state level and the state legislature, you can do that. It's not against the law. It's not against ethics violations.
Well, that doesn't mean it's not subject to challenge. That just says you can vote on it.
The makeup of our state legislature and our governor's office, any kind of a challenge would be met. I don't think you'd get anywhere at all with it.
From a political point of view or from a legal point of view?
Well, unfortunately, the political point of view, pretty much in the state legislature in Oregon and the governor's office and all the departments under the governor's office, they pretty much, I hate to be this blunt, but they pretty much do whatever they want. And you can see that with our disgraced governor when he left office here a little over a year ago, with all those things that went on there, and he just, he left office disgraced. But now he's wanting to come back into public life again, and nothing has happened to him, period.
Well, he must have come in and reincarnated as a different type of being.
That keeps coming up.
That must have been part of the Shasta Mountain thing.
I knew it. I knew you'd bring it back there. Got a theme going on here.
It's a transcendental state thing.
So Tom, what's this going to do to your county economically? Because there are a lot of people who don't think that there's going to be economic blowback to removing the dams.
Well, most people realize, if they've really studied it, know that this is a bad deal. But those that have signed on to it, I would say at least 75 to 85% have never read any of the agreements. They only listen to a certain subset of people that are promoting it, for very specific reasons, but the majority of the people haven't read it that are supporting it. Those that have read it really in detail have come out with comments like, oh my gosh, I can't believe anybody would sign these things. And that's when you get educated, that's what happens. People will say absolutely no, and the general population of Klamath County, much like Siskiyou County, not quite to the extent, but historically on all the elections and everything that have come on here, it's been somewhere in the 65 to 70% against.
Well, my favorite part was item 1.9. It says, Klamath Basin Agreement. On the amendment effective date, the states, federal parties, and other entities are entering into a corresponding but separate agreement concerning certain issues in the Klamath Basin. Blah, 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 blah. It goes on from there. It's a fairly short paragraph. So someone actually had the audacity to ask where that agreement is. You know, what is it? Because we need to read it. We've never seen it. Oh, it hasn't been written yet.
Oh my God. They've been meeting for about a month or so, I think, in Sacramento. I think I know some of the parties, but I have no firsthand knowledge, really, of that.
Do I have to go bust them again? Do I have to go be the leak?
Yeah, there you go.
Frankly, I kind of like it. It's kind of my lot in life. Because this all talks about a longer-term agreement pertaining to the sustainability of management of water and land in the Klamath Basin for the benefit of fisheries, irrigation, including regulatory assurances related to reintroduction, I'm assuming, of endangered species into their formerly placid lives, counties, tribes, and refuges, the whole thing. None of it's been written. It covers that much stuff, and it's just a little paragraph in here that people are supposed to go, oh, okay.
Right, yep. And you know, to answer your question just a little bit ago, you asked what's the economic damage to Klamath County.
Yes.
On a permanent basis, we lose that tax revenue, which is right now it's roughly just around $500,000 to our county in tax revenue. And then there's still a lot of land devaluations and a lot of other items also. Here, about a year or so ago, we actually estimated it be close to $1 million a year of lost revenues for the county. And that's on a permanent basis. And they had offered us in the original agreements $3.2 million for an offset for all economic damages or anything. And then you have to sign an agreement that you would never be allowed to sue for anything above and beyond that, which would include any issues with the sediment, getting sued over the sediment issues or anything like that. So my response was that was an insult, to slap in the face to Klamath County, because that's such a small pittance amount, even though $3.2 million sounds like a lot of money, but it was going to be spread over either a 10 or a 15-year period in payments.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound like $500,000 a year.
$1 million loss of revenue. That's it. That is a slap in the face.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah, considering the long term effect. Well, thanks a million, Tom, and I'm sure we'll be doing more programs like this on our favorite topic because it doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon. We have to take.
I know it gives us nightmares sometimes,
doesn't it? But we do get to see each other a lot. I think we should meet for more fun things. But you know,
yeah.
We are becoming buddies. You know, a lot of carpooling going on, and you know, just.
No, I know it.
God, what are we all going to do if the world stops? You know, operating upside down, we'll be bored, I guess.
Yeah, I long for the day.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? Alrighty, we need to take one more quick break. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Larry, we're going to be back with your final thoughts. I don't know how you could possibly have final thoughts on this. It'd be more like dot, dot, dot. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Up his sleeve, most bad guys won't believe. A bulletproof coat, a cannon hat, machine gun game with a rope.
Five four and five
is this guy. Takes him many places. He's a squirrel of many faces. Who's that?
Bug.
Who's that?
Botan.
Who's that?
Bug.
Secret squirrel.
Secret squirrel.
We do a lot of secret squirrel.
We do a lot of secret squirrel.
Oh yeah, yeah.
All right, Larry. What else do people need to know? I know there's like a million tons of it.
People need to want to know what the truth is. People need not to accept, must avoid accepting what people tell them without looking into it themselves. There's been a lot of misrepresentation and a lot of omission of facts. And unfortunately, the people of the Klamath Basin, not a lot of them, as you said, as Mr. Malins had said, read the agreements and understand what they mean. They need to start undertaking their due diligence. They need to start wanting to know what it's going to cost them if they concede these negotiating points.
Well, one of
they
the things
they can't just give away their water rights, you know. They need.
Yeah,
to,
you'll
they
never
need
get them back. You'll never get them back.
And one of the things I hear a lot at these meetings and in outside conversations, we've worked on this for so long. We've worked on it such a long time. We can't. It's like we can't possibly abandon ship and start over. So just because we have a pile of crap at the end of all this time we've spent, we can't call it that because we've spent a lot of time on it.
Yeah, but, well, they spent a lot of time deceiving. They've spent a lot of time deceiving the public.
Exactly.
Yes, they're correct. They spent a lot of time.
They spent a lot of time on it.
Exactly. And they don't want to have wasted their time, which has resulted in the deception of the public. If the public really takes their rights seriously, especially their property rights, they will start to look into this immediately and find out that this is against their interests. It's against the public interest. And unless they do so, they will forever lose their water and land rights. It's not going to come back.
No. No.
And that's the message.
Well, and you know, oddly enough, you have people who've lived on that river, who lived there prior to, like, the Iron Gate Dam. You have Rex Casalio, and we've done shows with him before. His family has lived there for a very long time, and when he was a kid, he used to walk across the river in the summer with his shoes on and not get them wet. Now the river is always, you know, always has water in it because they can do, you know, consistent release out of the reservoirs. So even though a lot of people would argue they don't hold enough water to be, you know, true flood control, they had floods in the past. They don't have now. So it must be doing something. And, you know, they have a hatchery that produces upward of 6 million fish. So without those fish, I can't imagine you're going to. How are you going to have more fish if you take 6 million of them out of the system? That doesn't make sense to me either.
Well, none of it makes sense when you examine it carefully. It falls on its own weight. And it's all agenda-based, okay? Whether that agenda is environmental governance, whether that agenda is Agenda 21, whether that agenda is the legacy of the POTUS in the White House, whether it's federal Indian policy and reparations being paid once again for harms committed several hundred years ago by people we don't even know. Take any one of those reasons and you get the same answer. It doesn't make any sense except to those who have the agendas.
Nope. And you know, I just hope they don't come to some agreement that has some short-term economic benefit to the shareholders, and in the long term, they end up losing their rights forever.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the taxpayers are on the hook if this great experiment that has been predicted to be a disaster by really well-respected scientists, if it does turn out to be a disaster, the federal taxpayers are on the hook for it. So,
fact is, you know,
be afraid.
Well, thank you. Larry, thanks for coming on. We're out of time.
Have fun in Las Vegas.
Yeah, we're going to keep this on the front burner.
Yeah. And
well, thank you. And if you need any more information as the process unfolds, I'd be happy to contribute.
Oh, we're going to need more information.
Oh,
all
yes.
Right. All right, folks. We would love it if you'd go on the website and do your own homework. That would be terrific. Send the show to friends and especially the non-believers. We'll see you next week. WeThePeopleRadio.us.